This is KGMI's Pet Pulse, a weekly segment where we talk all things pets and pet-related. It's brought to you by Whatcom Veterinary Hospital. Did you know 1 in 4 pets suffer from obesity? Pet obesity can shorten your pet's lifespan by up to 2 years. Contact Whatcom Veterinary Hospital for a wellness exam today. Kate Woods is the practice manager over at Whatcom Veterinary Hospital in Ferndale. She joins us once again this morning. Kate, we've been having a lot of discussions recently about the stuff your pets probably should not be ingesting. And with the recent Easter holiday come and gone by, it made me think about plants, things that folks might bring home, Easter lilies and things of that nature. So I wanted to talk about pets that might be, or plants rather, out in the wild or grown indoors that might be harmful to your four-legged friend.
Yeah, definitely. There's quite the list, and actually most of them are extremely common, and you really wouldn't think twice about it, especially because they are so common.
Oh, is that so? So what are the most common ones on that list?
So pretty much any spring bulb that you're going to see coming out of the ground right now, or you're going to have on your kitchen table, daffodils, tulips, lilies, especially those Easter lilies, super popular, but also incredibly poisonous, especially to cats.
Okay, got it. So maybe avoid taking your cat to the tulip farms for Tulip Festival this week, and maybe even your dogs as well. I don't know. Are they generally okay about that, or do they naturally react to those flowers, or do they just not know better?
They mostly just don't know better. You know, with the lilies, with the cats, it's literally just a matter of touching the pollen that can get to them. For the flowers and the bulbs with the dogs, it's more so ingestion, but I wouldn't recommend bringing dogs or cats to the festivals.
Okay, folks, you heard it here. If you need to adjust your plans, this is the time to do so accordingly. Now, plants that are harmful to our four-legged friends aren't necessarily those that are cultivated and grown on farms and displayed beautifully over time. This can also apply to wild plants as well. What should folks be on the lookout for, especially here in the Pacific Northwest?
Yeah, really popular ones are going to be, I know the yew is poisonous to dogs if ingested, the azaleas and rhododendrons, which are super popular around here. And I think that's really most of them that I can think of. Ivy can be super, super poisonous if ingested. And then we go more into like the palm trees and things like that. But those are more of a houseplant area.
Right. And the palm trees are more a little bit south of us. I don't think you see too many palm trees growing out here in the wild up in our neck of the woods, right?
Yeah, not really.
There you go. And all right, when it comes to these plants, I mean, there's a couple out there that are probably okay. I wouldn't necessarily suggest, and I don't think you would either, Kate, sending out your dog or your cat out into the woods to clear out some poison ivy. But other animals have been known for clearing that stuff out. So maybe let's stick with the goats for that kind of cleanup.
Absolutely. I think that's a great idea.
Okay, we'll keep the goats to the munching. And of course, if you're taking either pet outside, whether your cat's an indoor, outdoor, strictly outdoor, or, I mean, if you've got a dog, it's going to end up outside more than likely. There's another common thing that you should really be on the lookout for, and I think vets everywhere are on top of it more than anybody else. It's not the living stuff growing out of the ground, but the stuff that buzzes around and gets under your pet's skin, fleas and ticks. Kate, I'll let you take it away.
Yeah, flea and tick season is year-round up here in the Pacific Northwest. We very rarely get a long enough freeze to eliminate the population of the fleas and ticks. We've been seeing fleas and ticks here since January, February, and didn't even really get a break this year.
Wow, yeah, and there's plenty of guidelines that you can take to prevent that. I've already had to go through the rigmarole. Even in just my own apartment complex, not a lot of green space, but my cat had to deal with fleas already, and I wasn't really a fan of it. But after seeing how well the flea and tick medication we got for her worked, I'm all on board, and we've been doing that regularly the past couple of months. So a generic monthly medication is usually the way to go, or is that a universal thing for cats and dogs? They should just all know that by now.
It's definitely the way to go. You know, we have good medicated flea and tick medications that you can get here at Whatcom Vet, prescribed by a veterinarian. They tend to be a little more effective than the stuff you're going to find over the counter. fleas and ticks, they're evolving just as well as we are, and they're getting smarter than the medications that people are throwing at them.
Uh-oh. Okay, so that's an issue down the line. Naturally, there is there's probably an upside and a downside if you're looking at the pros and cons of getting your pet medicated for ticks and fleas. Obviously, there's a lot of downsides when it comes to choosing not to put that medication on your dog or cat. What do they risk by skipping the meds?
A complete flea infestation, potential Lyme disease, heartworm disease. Those things are all incredibly difficult to treat and maintain once you have it in your home or in your pet's body.
Are those treatments, say if a pet does contract any of those issues, are those easy to treat, or does it go away over just a short amount of time, or are you in it for the long haul if that issue pops up?
You know, you're in it for the long haul. It starts with the symptoms, and then you got to come to the vet and get diagnostics done. Whether it's fleas, you know, you have to treat your whole home. You have to treat all of your pets in the home. Consistent treatment for the next at least 3 months. As far as ticks are concerned, you can get that Lyme disease, and that can cause expensive treatment, and it's no fun. Mm-hmm. And heartworm disease is even worse. It's longer, and it's more invasive.
Are those the most common things you treat cats and dogs for up at Whatcom Veterinary Hospital, or is there something totally else that just blows that out of the water?
No, that's the most thing that we're trying to prevent. We don't really see a whole lot of it because we do a pretty good job of making sure our patients are all on as many preventatives as we can get them on.
Very cool. And if folks have issues or have questions about flea, tick, and heartworm medication or outdoor plants that their pet might have gotten into, best way to contact you. How can folks do that?
Sure. Give us a call at 360-384-0212. You can also visit our website, book an appointment there at www.whatcomvethospitals.com, or you can come on in at 5610 Barrett Road in Ferndale.
There it is. Kate Woods is the practice manager for the Whatcom Veterinary Hospital up in Ferndale for this week's edition of Pet Pulse. Kate, again, thank you so much for joining us. We'll chat again next week.
Thank you.